Hello and welcome to another brand spanking new episode of the Listening Party Podcast, a conversational music podcast where every episode is a different theme. New episodes are released the first Monday of every month, and so far we've kept that streak alive, so I'm pretty proud of ourselves.
Woo-woo.
I feel like I'm pretty consistent, right? Yeah.
With this podcast. I mean, once a month, come on.
Anyways, let's not start arguing. All right, with me as always is my lovely co-host, Denise.
Hi.
Denise, how have you been?
I've been good. How are you?
Nice. I hear you're... Oh, never mind. That's irrelevant. Sorry. See what I'm talking about? Anyways, Denise, would you like to tell all the potheads out there who is here with us in studio today?
We have a very special guest. I'm super excited. He is a fellow musician. I met him through Banana Cakes.
Shout out.
Shout out to Banana Cakes. And Avi. Avi is here on the show. We'll go with like first names. No stalkers.
No social security number, no home address, nothing like that.
Yeah.
555, never mind.
There you go. Yeah, Avi, welcome to the show. Would you like to tell all the folks at home a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. I like long walks in the park. The park? The beach. No, I grew up in Los Angeles. One of the remaining few Angelinos, I feel like. There's so many transplants here.
Yeah.
Been playing music since I was about 16, on and off. Was in a metal band for about 10 years. And then started taking more solo songwriting stuff seriously the last, like, 5-6 years or something like that.
Yeah.
Probably a little longer now.
So that's how I met you. We played the Shangri-La Market in El Sereno.
Mm-hmm. El Sereno. Oh,
yeah.
Damn.
And I dug your music. It was just like you and your guitar. And then you mentioned that you were in a band. And then I think it's very heavy. It's like a heavy metal band, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Would you like to give the name of the band?
Yeah.
We're called Botched Execution.
Oh, nice. That is very heavy metal. Wait, what kind of metal is it? Is it like thrash? Is it like death metal?
Yeah, it's the vocalist calls it crossover. So it's like a bit of literally a crossover between punk and metal.
Oh, okay.
Nice. So.
Nice. Sorry I interrupted, Janice. Sorry, continue.
No, that's it. And then you guys have a show coming up. You could plug it later. Or you could plug it now.
No, yeah. Plug it up front in case, you know.
Oh, wait, no. Forget. It's already going to...
That's right. Well, this comes up the first Monday of September.
We'd have already played by then. That's okay.
Yeah. Well, Denise, I'm sure, would have posted it by then.
Yeah.
Like,
which I really appreciate that I saw that. I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah. So
if another show comes up, I will post again. Yeah. Yeah. And you can follow them. Links will be in the show notes.
Yeah. So. By the way, I guess you could start off with that too. Do you have a social media for the band or for your own personal music?
For the band, it's botched_execution_HC, which stands for hardcore. And then my personal one, Avi Rivera. So I don't have like a specific music page yet.
Yeah.
It's in the works.
All right. Nice. And well, I was gonna say initially, I was like, yeah, exactly. It's so difficult like managing all these different accounts, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you're like, no, but it's coming.
Yeah. Which a friend of mine and I talked about that. Just especially now since I'm focusing on two projects, is kind of like, well, maybe I should just start up a page just for like the acoustic stuff. That way, I mean, I don't know. There's more control over it and not just like this hodgepodge of me being like, I'm doing this and I'm also doing this. And,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll see. I'm excited. Yeah.
It's difficult though, because whenever you start a new account, it's like you're starting from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
You literally are starting from scratch. But then also like some of the people that follow you on one will not follow you on the other. And it's mm-hmm. just like, come on now.
Yeah. Which my friend and I, DJ Mr. Ben, I talked to him about it because what happened with him was he turned his personal account into his music account.
That's smart.
But people didn't notice the name change.
Oh.
And so they started ignoring him.
They started muting his stories and stuff.
Well, because I guess they weren't used to him posting like his own music stuff.
Oh.
And so they would just, you know, passing by and not pay attention.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
The algorithm gods need to be appeased.
Yeah. So we'll have links to all the social medias on the show notes. So everybody listening to this at home, in the car, wherever you are, just click show notes and you'll have links to everything there. And Denise, if you want people to follow you, where can they do that?
At DeeferMusic, DeeferMusic on Instagram.
Nice. Very nice. And you can follow the podcast at the LP Pod. No, it's just LP Pod. LP Pod on all the social media. So we are there. And yeah. Anyways. All right. Let's get to the theme. Our guest always chooses the theme. Would you like to tell everyone what theme you chose and why you chose it?
Yeah. Nostalgia. Mostly because I feel that word gets thrown around not as cleverly or not as properly used as what I feel the word is supposed to imply. The term nostalgia goggle gets thrown around a lot. And so, like, I feel like a lot of bigger productions kind of weaponize that to get to people's heartstrings. And I feel that's kind of cheap.
Yeah.
So just the idea that, like, nostalgia to me is more of like a sort of like a dreamed up, made up memory of a feeling, you know? It's not something specific. It's just something that, like, I have, like, nostalgia for, like, this moment in time, but I can't really tell you what was happening. Mm. You know, there's just this feeling associated with it.
Oh, okay.
Ah, nice. Okay, so see, I had a different song planned for this. Well, not planned, but I had a few different songs up in the air that I was like, oh, should I go with this one? Should I go with that one? But then in the end, I think, you know, the media brainwashed me into thinking nostalgia means this. Mm-hmm. So then I went with this other song. But I think the songs that originally had in mind were more with like that idea that you're conveying right now. Mm-hmm. Of like it's more of an abstract feeling that you have and you can't really place.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So anyways, I guess we'll get a little variety.
Really? So what does nostalgia glasses or goggles mean? I've never heard of that. It's like the bombastic side eye. It took me forever to figure out what the hell that was.
It's kind of like, let's say like a childhood cereal.
Oh, okay.
That you really loved.
Yeah.
As a kid.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Captain Crunch. Yes.
And then like you run into it years later as an adult and you're like, oh my God, I got to try this thing. Uh-huh. And then you try it and you're like, it's not as good as I remember.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like nostalgia goggles. It's like you romanticize something through the veil of like those goggles, in which in reality it's like it probably was that bad the whole time, but just
yeah,
like R. Kelly, like I don't know, like
R. Kelly was pretty good.
I mean, until he was bad.
Well, yeah, the music, if you just listen to the music,
like, yeah, we talk about this all the time, separating the artist from the music. From
I struggle with that too,
yeah,
lately as well,
yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, yeah. So I'm very interested in the meaning behind your song and why you chose it and all that. So I guess, shall we get right down to it?
Yeah.
All right, Avi, go ahead and let us know what song you chose and why you chose it.
Yeah, the song is Formula One by a band called Wednesday. I don't remember where they're from exactly. I know they're not from around here.
Oh, they're from North Carolina.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah. I was like, I know it's up there somewhere. Yeah. And I don't know, it's something about... It's kind of like a layered sort of draw to it because I first found this band when I was riding my bike to work, which is like an hour long bike ride.
Oh, damn, for real?
Yeah. It's dang. About 9 miles, I think. And I found their first album in that era. And I was just like, there's something about this sound that I'm like really drawn to. I don't know why. There's this really high-strung guitar playing in the background, and I don't know how the hell they're doing that. And I finally, yeah. And then I finally saw, like, live footage of them, and they're using a steel-string guitar. Mm-hmm. But the guy's running it through, like, pedals and, like, distortion, and it's just making it sound really crazy, for lack of a better word. So then, like, riding through Pasadena with, like, their songs, like, swimming in my head, just kind of create. And it was around this time, too. It was, like, around summertime, which I felt, like, added a lot to it. And then this new album came out, and like as soon as this song started, Formula One, like immediately, I was just like, whoa, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And like, why is it giving me that feeling of like, I miss something, but I don't know what I'm missing exactly, mm-hmm. you know? And like, even the song has nothing to do with what I'm feeling exactly.
Yeah.
Parts of it do, but yeah.
All right. Would you like to do a little radio DJ intro where basically you pretend like you're a radio DJ and you introduce
sure.
the song? All right, let's go.
You're listening to the Listening Party Podcast, and this is Formula One by Wednesday. Take it away.
I like sleeping with the lights on.
That was a jam. And this is why I love doing this, because I've never heard of this band. And as soon as I played it, I was like, dude, I fucking love this. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, same. I'd never heard of them before. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is like right up my alley. And they have a lot of albums. I didn't even count how many. Did you?
I think this is their fifth album in 3 years or something crazy like that.
Something like that. Yeah. I think they released a couple singles.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Uh-huh. And so, yeah, I dig it. I dig her voice. I love the guitar and, like, I don't know, it kind of sounds like a little banjo-y. So, like, I don't know, like so, twangy.
So that's the steel string.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's what you're mentioning, like all the technology, like with pedals and stuff.
Yeah.
That I don't have. Dude, that's like, I'm afraid to jump into pedals because it's like, yeah, like I'd just be like, buy me this one. And like, yeah.
If you need help, I'm here.
No, I can't go down that road. I'd be broke.
Well, what do they call it? Gas gear acquisition syndrome or something like that?
Maybe.
Where you just like constantly buying more stuff. Like, oh, well, now I need this one. Now I need that one.
Yeah, no, I don't have any more space.
And then
I can't.
What is it called? The never-ending hunt for tone.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I put a stop to that about 3 years ago.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How far down the rabbit hole did you get?
It was pretty bad.
Yeah?
Oh, like, my gosh.
2 cases worth of...
Are you serious?
Pedals. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
That I've been selling over time.
Yeah. Then that's what ends up happening. You're just like, well, I don't need this one anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I get like attached. So, I mean, maybe not with pedals, but with my guitars.
You get attached with everything.
Yeah, I do. Because I name everything. They tell you don't name it.
Nope.
Yeah. I was like, damn it. But anyways, yeah, I love this. And like, I understand like your nostalgic definition, I guess, but I'm gonna probably debate that when it gets to my song. Oh. What do you think about Avi's song?
No, yeah, I thought it was great. I don't know if you're familiar with well, first of all, like, I really liked her phrasing. Like, she kind of sings, it's like one of those artists where it's difficult to sing along with them if you're not like too familiar, because the lyrics don't come when you expect them to come, kind of thing. And so it kind of keeps you like guessing, I guess. So I like that. Her voice also kind of reminded me of... are you familiar with Hop Along?
No.
Oh, okay. So they're like this little indie band. So the singer is Frances Quinlan, I think her name is. Or I'm sorry, their name is. Because she identifies as non-binary.
They're a they.
Yes. Anyways, so their voice is very similar. And they also do that whole like weird phrasing.
Yeah.
The other thing is they really... They can sing very like raspy at times. So I can only listen to it for so long, because after a while it just gets like a little grating. But yeah, so it reminded me of that. And then it also reminded me of this little band that I found again through like some other podcasts, like maybe like 10 years ago almost now. But it was called Bandit. And they were so good. They're kind of like shoegazy a little bit, but not like noisy. Because, you know, shoegaze could kind of like get noisy and it's just like a bunch of like distortion and stuff.
Yeah.
But this is more like melodic, kind of like this. And like their voices are very similar. So yeah. So after I listened to your song, I was like, it just got me in a mood for like Bandit and all that. So I went to listen to that. And, like, so good. Yeah. But anyways, but your song was great too. And yeah, I don't know. I can't wait to listen to more of their music, check out more like a full length album kind of thing.
Yeah. No, they're great. I mean, I've been listening to them for the last year or so, like obsessively.
Have you, I think they were just here either recently or they're going to come by.
Yeah, they were. I missed them. I had to work, unfortunately.
Know. Going back to your song, another thing that also kind of reminded me of Frances Quinlan is the writing style.
Mm-hmm.
So her writing for this song, for Formula One, it was very kind of like slice of life, stream of conscious.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I was wondering, because you write your own music.
Yeah.
And when it's your solo stuff, you mentioned it leans more toward acoustic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So like, where do you draw inspiration from on your own music? And how would you describe like your writing style?
It's kind of drawn from various aspects. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like to write from like one perspective, I would say. And so it's more, I would say the writing is more about a situation than it is about like a specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Elliot Smith kind of did that, where in one song you get perspectives from different folks. Mm-hmm. You know, he was way more refined about it than I am, though. I feel like my writing is just more of like, it's there, the story's there, you know, but I think there's a thorough line theme that goes through it. you know. But yeah, I feel that's more of it, just like a situational sort of writing style. Nothing specific. Like, there's no, I don't sit down and say, I'm just like, oh, I'm going to write like a song about my friend who's like going through a hard time. You know, I'd like to take the theme of like whatever my friend is going through and draw from the theme itself, you know, and not just like, well, you know, he had a shit day and then he went to bed and he had a shit night. Yeah, you know. It's more of like, well, what is he really going through? And like, there's way more to draw from that, I feel, you know?
Yeah. And I think you had also mentioned when we saw you at the Shangri-La Market was that you do have some music available on Spotify and some streaming services, but you mentioned you kind of outgrew that, right?
I did.
Yeah. So like, well, I'm not like a musician. I don't write music or anything like that. So like, what's that like? Like, is it kind of like you don't really feel like you could sing those songs anymore because you don't relate to them? Or
No, I feel it's more of like time goes on and then like the ideas and the space that I was coming from is completely different now, you know? Yeah. And it's funny. I was talking to my friend about this not that long ago where I was just like, I kind of feel those two EPs were like my experimental phase into writing solo, especially because I've been in a band for like 10 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, and like coming out of that and like being used to heavier music, I'd always loved the idea of like combining the heavy with the soft. And it's only been until recently that I was just like, just no, like, just let that be what it was. Go figure this out now, you know, and like draw on like a sound that best represents what I really want to get through.
Do you have any plans in the near future to record some of the newer stuff you've been working on?
Yeah. Hoping by the end of this year, I can get something out. I've been looking at some artwork. Yeah, so like the process is already on its way for sure. It's just a matter of pulling the trigger and getting permission from artists.
Oh, okay. Any last comments, questions about your song? Anything you wanted to share about it that you haven't had a chance to say?
Not really. I mean, other than like to go back to what you were saying about like the phrasing, I kind of feel that kind of nails it on the head and like the slice of life thing. Like, I personally can't write like that. I try to write about like pretty mundane things, you know, because there's like a sort of poetry to that. And then every time it comes out, it just comes out kind of shallow.
Yeah.
At least for me.
No. Yeah. It's like a real art form, right?
Yeah.
When you sit back and like look at the lyrics, you're like, wait, she's just talking about watching Formula One on TV. Like, what the fuck? But then when it's all put together, you're like, but it sounds so beautiful.
Yeah. And like, they're really like, I feel like with that song, there's really no, like, there's nothing really connecting all the verses, which I feel kind of adds to, like, the sort of dreamlike state.
Yeah. They're like little vignettes.
Yeah.
And the airiness to the whole song kind of gives it that whole dreamlike vibe, too.
Yeah.
It was really good. I really dug it.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
Pretty nervous.
No. All right. So then we said this time I go next.
You go next. I went second last time. So.
All right, guys. So I'm sorry. You know, we just had this whole deep conversation about, you know, this beautiful song and this and that. And I'm just going to totally throw a wrench in that a little bit. Maybe.
I'm so curious to hear your song because.
Oh, you don't know.
No. I was like, what's your song all week?
Well, because I was still debating. I was like a game time decision last night. But yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So anyways. All right, so I'll just get right to it. So the year is like 2002, right? So I went with that whole nostalgia thing of like, oh, back in the day, right?
Yeah.
So it's 2002. It was like right around the end of like my junior year in high school. And growing up, right, I had always been kind of like a dirty rocker, right? I was like, nah, man, I like rock music. Like, I don't listen to anything else. I don't know why that was a thing back then where we're like, we would just say to ourselves, like, no, man, I only listen to rock, so I don't listen to anything else, right? And then, so I grew up with my cousins, and one of my cousins, he was really into, like, rap and, like, 90s rap and, like, hip-hop and all this stuff. And so we'd all carpool to school and stuff. And then one year out of nowhere, and I don't even know how he got this CD or whatever, right? I'm surprised his mom let him play it in the car even. But he got the Marshall Mathers LP, right? And I mean, that's, like, I was like, dude, come on, it's got a parental advisory sticker on it and everything. And he's younger than me, you know what I mean? And we're like driving to school and he's just like bumping it in the car and his mom's driving us.
I know, it's not like your aunt knows English, you know what I mean? It's not like the best, but...
Yeah, she understood the lyrics.
The family of Mexicans, right? I just have to clarify.
Yeah. So she understood the lyrics. I was just like... And I just remember thinking back then, I was like, oh, this is so dumb. Like, I fucking hate this music. Like, yada, yada, yada.
Also, Frank was a favorite. I'm not going to lie. Like, Frank was the favorite of all the kids in the house or whatever.
Okay.
So.
I don't know why that's relevant.
They let him get away with stuff.
Yeah, they let him get away with shit.
Sure,
yeah.
I guess. True. Yeah, because I remember a couple years before that, they took us to like the record store or whatever to buy CDs for whatever reason. I don't know why. They were like, oh, you guys want to buy a CD? We're like, sure. So we all went. And then I wanted Mechanical Animals by Marilyn Manson.
Oh, yeah.
And then my aunt was like, nah, you can't get that. And then I was like, what the hell? And then, so I ended up getting a Psycho Circus by Kiss.
So, nice.
Yeah. I guess Kiss was okay.
Yeah.
But anyways. So yeah. So he would play the Marshall Mathers LP. And I'd just be like, dude, what the heck? And low key, I was kind of like, dude, like, this sounds pretty good. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Because, like, the lyrics weren't. So I'm not about all that braggadocious, like, rap stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And his stuff wasn't like that at all. It was just kind of like weird, like, psychological issues. Like, this guy's like a sociopath or something. And, like, kind of like relationship songs, but, like, not like lovey dovey, you know what I mean?
No.
And I was just like, oh man, this actually sounds pretty interesting, right? But I was still too cool for school, right? I was like, nah man, I'm a rocker, I don't listen to that stuff.
But that's how it was back then. It was totally. Like, dude, you had to be like in a group. Like there was I listen to everything.
That's
bullshit. You're a poser. Like
Well, but also it was a lot more difficult to listen to everything back then. Because you buy the CD. So yeah, now it's like I do listen to everything. Look at my Spotify.
Yeah.
It's like, well yeah, you can listen to everything. But anyways, I digress. So then I don't know what happened between then and, because that must have been like maybe like freshman year of high school or something. So I don't know what happened between then and when 2002's The Eminem Show came out. But yeah, like I went out, I bought the CD, and right around that time I was volunteering at like the Boys and Girls Club not far from our high school. And you know, because we had to do volunteer hours and all that. So I vividly remember like having my little CD player. And then, you know, leaving like the Boys and Girls Club late in the evening and then taking the bus. And yeah, I just remember I had like very vivid memories of this album. And whenever I play it, I can picture myself there like on the bus doing all this and all that. So yeah. Anyways, so this album is extremely popular. I feel like pretty much everybody and their mother has heard it. So I try to pick a song that's not, you know, as popular, I guess. But all of these songs on Spotify have like, even this one is like one on the lower end and it has like 30 million like streams or something. So anyways, so we go from a really like nice deep cut, you know, something that not a lot of people are going to know, to like probably the most mainstream rapper you can think of.
Oh yeah.
So all right, so this is
it's like that meme, it's like, you know this rapper from their haircut. Did you see that one? It was Eminem's like head, like forehead.
Yeah. exactly. So anyways, this is a Square Dance by Eminem off 2002's The Eminem Show.
To bend or budge, the wrong button to push, no friend to push. I'm the centerpiece, you're a Maltese. I'm a pit bull off his leash. All this peace talk can cease. All these people I had to leave in limbo. I'm back now, I've come to release this info. I'll be brief and let me just keep shit simple. Can a bitch don't want no beef with Slim? No, not even on my radar. So won't you please jump off my dick, lay off and stay off. And follow me as I put these crayons to chaos. From seance to seance.
All right, there you go. That was Square Dance by Eminem. What did you guys think? Avi, I'll let you go first.
I'm interested in the title, Square Dance.
Yeah.
Is there a reference there something I'm missing? Well, obviously we didn't hear the whole song.
Yeah, no. I think it's just because of like the even I think in the like musical style, mm-hmm. like the musical arrangement, oh. it kind of has like that kind of like a square dance vibe.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's where it's from. Because in the lyrics there's really nothing else to it. And
I can definitely see someone doing the hustle to this. I mean, it's just like a line
the hustle
dance.
Square dance.
It's a line dance.
Oh, okay.
I mean, whatever. Same thing.
Oh, right? I don't know.
Isn't it the same thing?
Square dance,
like
line dance,
electric slide. Yeah.
Where the everybody hustle, just kind of gets in a line. Pata. Everybody does the same thing.
Yeah.
I guess.
I could definitely see like that'd be actually really funny if someone did like a line dance to this song.
Yeah.
I see it in my head because I took dance and stuff. So like for
we got an expert over here.
No, for PE. Like I mean, it was for my major. We had to take a dance class because that could potentially be a unit, is like a dance unit or whatever.
Right.
So and they taught you line dances. So I definitely see.
I took a swing class once. So.
Oh yeah.
I took a class too. You were there.
Anyways.
So I'm not really sure. Sorry, I failed you on that one. I don't have any more info on it. As you can tell from the lyrics of this song, he does have little like political like one-liners here and there. Mm-hmm. So that was also something that I was kind of attracted to, that I was like, oh man, like, yeah, he's not just like rapping about, I don't know, whatever.
The caricature of himself.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's pretty dope. And this is kind of like one of his most political albums, I guess. It was like right after like 9/11. Mm. And there are some references to 9/11 in a few of the songs. And then there's like, Bush was in office and mm-hmm. he wasn't a fan of that.
Yeah.
So he has a few references to that in this song, but in others too. I think like the opening track after like that little intro interlude that mm-hmm. he does in some of his albums, it's called White America. And it's basically just about him. And how he gets away with so many things because he's like some white rapper or something.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh man, this is actually pretty good.
I'm trying to picture you though as like a young man on a bus with like your head against the window, like listening to this and just feeling it out. You know, like the image of this that sort of like living in the city, riding the bus every day and listening to like something that is like you can relate to
in
a sense.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's pretty much what it was.
So let me describe it. Marilyn Manson t-shirt, black Converse.
No, but I was in my school
more
uniform.
Hair.
I was in my school
you're
uniform because I was coming from school.
Salesian.
Salesian, go my thing.
Yeah. It was like an all-boys Catholic school, so
good times.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Good times.
Yeah.
There you go. Denise, what you think about?
Eminem reminds me of Evelina. So that was my best friend back in high school and college or whatever, and junior high as well. Because I knew her. Yeah, I had to change schools or whatever. Anyways, so that just takes me back. And I would not listen. I don't think I would listen to this stuff. I listened to like the rocker stuff, like the punk. We didn't really separate in that because I went to all girls school, so it was kind of just like either the hip hop like people, like the ranchera music people, or like. The rockers, which included everything, like metal, punk, like everything. Mm-hmm. So Evelina, my best friend, had left to go to an art school like halfway through, as a sophomore or whatever, right? But we would still hang out and we were driving her car. She was the one that drove first. She had a car first. And I remember her playing like Eminem. And this song was on that. And she was because she was a theater major. Mm. I remember her singing this like square dance and like and this voice and this acting thing that she did.
Yeah.
So I remember her singing this and she knew like all of like the Mom Spaghetti song.
Oh, yeah.
And there and obviously like
the 8 Mile soundtrack.
Yeah. Just, the hits like hi, like what is that? Hi, my name is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do enjoy Eminem like when he does play it. Like, I mean, when he came out with it was like not the most recent, but one of like the more recent albums, like Rod was like, oh, this new Eminem album. And I was like, huh. And I was like, yeah, I was like, I can dig this. Like I can listen to this. I love his lyrics. I love like the political, like little, what is it? Like jabs in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then just the references and, just like listening now, like listening back, like with the whole Christina Aguilera lyric and stuff, like there's just those minor details that I love in songs.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that about him. And then I will always remember when we went to the Grammy Museum and they had a notebook of Tom Morello's, right? It was Tom Morello's?
Yeah.
And then, and his was like all nice and neat or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like all nicely like written and like perfect. And then they showed M&M's. It was like fucking scribbles everywhere. Like a fucking psychopath. And I was like, and Rod's like, that's you. That's you. Oh, that's your notebook. And I was like, well, yeah, duh. but yeah, sometimes when I talk, I don't make sense, but hopefully that made sense.
No, it makes
you
sense.
Got,
I got it.
Yeah.
But I did that to say, like, I dug your song and it reminded me of Evelina.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad it wasn't a total waste. Just one last thing about the song. Well, about Eminem in general, I guess. You touched on like all his little like pop culture references that he threw into a lot of his early music and stuff. Mm. And just the other, not the other day, but a while back, I was listening to, one of his earlier albums when I was doing like yard work outside or something. And I just, in my head, I was like, a younger generation listening to his music now, like, a lot of these references are just going to go, like, over their head. Like, they're just going to be like, I have no idea what this is talking about. Yeah, like, what is going on here? And I just imagine, like, oh, wait, let me pull up the Wikipedia page so I get all the references.
Like Monica Lewinsky.
So I just thought that was really funny. But anyways.
I was going to say, well, that's kind of like, if people are willing to do the research, you know, that's kind of like the cool thing about it, I feel.
Yeah.
You know, like there was a song that John Frusciante, the former guitar player for Red Hot Chili Peppers, he covered, and I thought it was his really beautiful song called Song to the Siren.
Yeah. I love the original.
We first heard that song on this podcast.
Yeah.
No kidding.
This was like 10 years ago. But anyways, continue. Yeah. Sorry.
So Tim Buckley wrote the original.
Oh, I think the one we heard here was a cover.
Oh, yeah. It was.
So it was a cover of a cover. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I don't know.
I guess a lot of
people
have done that one.
No, yeah, they have.
Yeah.
I heard it recently and it wasn't like even the version that I heard. It was someone else doing it. And I was like, I was all mad.
Yeah.
Bombastic Siren.
That's my song. But kind of along the same vein where it's just like, this song is so fucking cool. And then just looking it up and somebody being like, oh man, he took a Tim Buckley song and made it his own. And I was like, who the fuck is Tim Buckley?
Yeah.
And then I went down that rabbit hole and like fell in love with all his music too.
Yeah.
So. I'm curious to hear the John Frusciante.
I haven't heard his version.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear that.
That's the first version I heard.
Oh, nice. I don't remember who. We'll look it up and then we'll tell you after the show which one we had heard here. Shout out to Victor. He doesn't listen to the show anymore, but just in case, shout out. Because he brought that. I forgot what the theme was that episode, but he brought that song and we were like, man, this is like such a, like, it's like a weird, dark, moody song, or at least the version we heard.
The subject itself is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know. But it's a good song. Yeah. It's a good song.
And then it was in a movie and I thought it was like appropriate. It was what, like the Lonely Bones or something. It was a book and then they made it into a movie. Something like that. Yeah. And they used that song and I was like, oh, dude, like that was like kind of like the nail in the coffin for me. Mm-hmm. Like when they played that song. Mm-hmm. And then it just like, just to bring it back around, I don't remember what the topic was, but like, Victor worked for Starbucks at the time, he's like, Starbucks is like the devil and stuff.
The siren?
And he's like, so I'm bringing this song. yeah. And I personally, like, I love sirens or whatever. I don't know, not like love, but there's just something about it, like the double tail, like, and just bringing someone like to their death, like calling them out, like to their death. And so, I love all that shit, so... Yeah.
No, I love that whole mythology behind it too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Sailors who are just listening to this song that they can't help it, but crashed their boat into it because they're so enchanted by it.
Yeah. No, definitely.
Did you ever listen to Atmosphere?
The rapper?
Yeah.
I've tried some of his stuff out. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I can't think of anything right off the top of my head.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's my point of reference for rap as far as it goes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
go ahead, sorry.
I mean, obviously, I know Eminem, but like, Atmosphere is like the first artist that comes to mind whenever I hear like a rap song.
Yeah. And I definitely, so after I got into Eminem and stuff, I was like, I want to listen to more like rap, more hip hop, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And so I tried different things, but I was like, it's just not like what I'm looking for, right? And then it wasn't until like years later that I got into more, I don't know if this is the right term for it or whatever, but I've heard some people reference it as like conscious rap or something like that. Mm-hmm. Where it's more like socially conscious music and stuff like that, like the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh yeah, man, that's pretty dope. So I checked out Atmosphere, and then Mark, who was just on last month's episode, he was a really big fan of Idea. That's kind of another guy.
Yeah.
And then through the podcast, I found like Open Mike Eagle, and he's not as like socially conscious, but he writes more like personal songs.
I love Open Mike Eagle because he references like Pearl Jam. He's a Pearl Jam fan and like wrestling too. Like he's a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
So he'll throw that in there. And I like, yeah, me and my minor details. I love Open Mike Eagle. So.
Oh, yeah. I saw a clip of, I can't remember his name, but they do the whole like, didn't you know? And it just like totally reminded me of your song.
Road Dog.
Yeah.
DX.
Like I just heard it and I was like, oh shit, there it is.
Yeah. that's one of my favorite songs to play because like dude, this was me growing up or whatever. So
nice. But I have to listen to more Atmosphere.
Yeah, he's good. He's and kind of along the same vein, there's a sort of like a lot of his writing is very personal, but it kind of creates a bigger picture problem. Mm-hmm. You know, small guy versus like the rest of the world, kind of thing.
Oh, another one that's like that, who he's pretty famous, I think, is Immortal Technique.
Yeah,
like that. Sage Francis.
Oh, yeah.
We're just going to name all of them now.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so there you go. That was Eminem, everybody. And with that, we move on to the final song of the evening, the month, the morning, whenever it is you're listening to this.
Alrighty. So I had my song. For me, like, music, like, this nostalgic means that it takes you back to a certain time. I'm not sure if I miss anything, but because I feel like I have such a strong connection, like, with music, and like I can listen to a song and it'll take me back like here. Like I have songs that remind me of my parents. I have songs that remind me of my sister at different points in my life, like of my cousin, like, and one of them who's like no longer here. And so like I guess I just don't like agree with that like missing part. Like I just like I hear a song and like I know exactly where I was when I was listening to that song. And yeah, it could just take me back to like any point in my life. So I was really like leaning towards like, well, let's go like all the way back to like my when I was first being introduced to music, besides like my parents, to when like me and my sisters were recording ourselves like singing and stuff, like over like just these pop bands at the time. So that's like New Kids on the Block and Bobby Brown. So I was like kind of going like that way. But then I heard your song and I was like, but wait, like this is such like a recent song. Like, why did he pick this song? Right. So I was trying to figure it out. And I don't like spoilers, so I wasn't gonna like get into it like and be like, hey, why'd you pick this song? Like before we're talking about it on the podcast.
You don't like spoilers. You constantly spoil shows. Yeah,
but that's like movies. Anyways, so I was like, wait, maybe it's like a song. I was like, unless it's he reminded him of something that happened like 3 months ago or whatever. Like
he's like, I'm nostalgic for last week.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe like this new, and it was like this new song reminded him of this old song or whatever, right? And so I was like, so wait. And then any chance I get to pick like a smaller artist, like I will. So I was like, all right, like I'm going with that route. Like, so a song that is more recent, but that just kind of reminds you of like way back in the day, like a different time, but it's like not from that time. But you know, everything nowadays is being recycled and stuff, you know, so I feel like there's like a lot of that going on. Where I hear all this new music and it's just like, this is so 90s and grunge, you know, but it was made like a year ago, or it was put out like a year ago, which is fine. I don't care. Like, I like it. I dig it. But anyways, my song is Elated by Velodrome. And I had them on the 110 podcast. They had less than 1,000 listens. And or at the time, I think now like most of their stuff is still under like 2,000 listens. But
they blew up after you put them on the pod.
Local band like to LA. Yeah, I'm hoping to go see them. Hopefully we'll have seen them by the time this comes out or whatever. Right. But they play on Monday and like in Hollywood. Like most of their shows are in Hollywood. I'm like, bro, dude.
Well, I think they're like, from that side of town.
Yeah. But like, I just like when I finally got past the first song, because I couldn't get past this first song, like for whatever reason, like if listening to the whole album, I finally got past it. I just started like cleaning. I started doing the dishes. I was like, not going to touch my phone. I'm just going to let it play through. And like, I just started digging it more and more. And this was a song that was just like, I'm using this a lot, nail in the coffin. I think you said it and now I'm saying it all the time. But I was like, oh, I was like, yes, like this sound, like I love this sound. This takes me back. Like had I had this album, you know, in college or whatever, I totally would have just like, I would have I knew where I was, you know, listening to this, but in a different time. So I don't know, it's kind of weird, like, hearing that. Mm-hmm. Even though it happens all the time, but it was especially, like, this album and this song and just the way everything, like, came in. And you'll hear it because I'm just going to play the beginning. I just dug when the drums came in. And it's funny because the drummer is in another band that I had also had on the One Done podcast. So like I kind of like saw him like when the drums came in, like, and I knew he was the drummer. Like I just like all pictured it in my head and stuff. So it was kind of really weird. But anyways, so this is my song Elated by Bella Drum.
Stop light.
Abby, what you think about it?
I see what you mean, because there's like that there's that guitar that kind of has like that 80 almost 80s chorusy sound that kind of harks back to like that old kind of sound. But then I think it's the, if it's not the bass, it's like the backing guitar that's kind of doing this dissonant note that mm-hmm. doesn't fall in line with the rest of them.
Yeah.
And it just kind of creates this tension. But I see what you mean by like, there's a certain sound there that like kind of reminds you of some, it sounds familiar, mm-hmm. but it's obviously it's completely new. It's different.
Yeah. Well, I think some of these songs were written like, I don't know when, but not now.
Like, oh, gotcha.
Like maybe like, I want to say, what did she say? Like 10 years ago?
Oh, wow.
At least. Yeah. I think there was, a time gap from her writing the stuff to putting everything out.
Oh, no, so, kidding.
Yeah.
She just kind of like sat on them.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Wow.
I probably should get that information. Should add that information.
Not spreading fake news over here.
Sorry.
Speculation.
I can't remember. I should have listened to that episode like one more time before, like that 110 episode.
Well,
before.
I'll put it in the show notes in case anybody's interested in listening to that Bella Drone episode on the 110 pod. Yeah, no, I dug it too. To me, the telltale sign that it was kind of like very 90s influences, that whole like soft, loud, like dynamic thing mm-hmm. where like it starts out soft and then the chorus gets loud and then it goes back to soft and then, yeah. So that was kind of like, oh, okay, yeah. And I feel like most of their songs have that motif, right? Like that, mm-hmm. What is a motif?
I don't know.
Can't use big words here, guys. Come on.
Yeah. We'll make it work.
Yeah. Oh, well, yesterday we went to Orange County and we were listening to the album on the way there.
Oh, yeah.
And all the songs are really good in there. So, like, check it out for sure. They are on Bandcamp. So, if you want to throw them a few shekels, head on over to Bandcamp. There's that Bandcamp Friday every month, I think, from now through
one.
There should be one in
September if you want to buy their record. I got their record, so I was trying to support.
So, basically, for those who don't know, Bandcamp Friday, the first Friday of the month, the full purchase, I guess, proceeds goes to the artist. Bandcamp doesn't take a cut. So if you really want, you know, to put some money in the tip jar, that's a good time to do it. Avi, do you have any music on Bandcamp or anywhere, or it's mainly just on Spotify?
Just Spotify.
Yeah.
Botched Execution is on Bandcamp.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I'll look them up. I'll put them in the show notes.
Thanks.
There you go, people. So if you want to do that next Bandcamp Friday, make sure you do that.
Well, I just had a comment, like going back to your being, like you being a bartender, mm-hmm. like I always think of, probably because I hate, sometimes I hate my job. I'm like, dude, I got to get out of this. Just when it gets, the kids get violent. like, I feel like, I think of all the things that I could do that would like, I'm like, oh, that seems like a really cool job, right? Mm-hmm. And like bartender, I feel like is up on there, like at a cool spot that has cool music, I guess, or mm-hmm. or I mean, it can't always be like a great band or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I feel like some of the Long Beach places that my favorite bands like play or whatever, my favorite small local bands like play, I was like, dude, I can see them like once a month because they're like always here, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I'd be like, dude, I'd love it. Like, I'd be a bartender and then like I'd hear great music. Like, yeah. Is that an upside or sometimes, I mean, I'm sure there are lows and there's like, this is a shit band or whatever, but I mean, what's your take on that?
I've met a couple bands that I genuinely am like, oh fuck, like these guys know what they're doing, you know? Mm. Either by them performing there or just happen to be working the night of. Trap Girl is one of them. They performed not that long ago, put on an amazing show. Bijou Noir performed last night, so that was I didn't know he was going to be there. I saw him perform once, and like he ran a ukulele through like a bunch of pedals.
Oh my god,
there's a theme here. Take your instruments and just run them through pedals and make noise. No, but yeah, if I remember correctly, he got a ukulele and like ran it through like all these electronics and was like singing and then like screaming, and I was just like, what the hell is going on here? And I love it, you
know? yeah
so
I love that feeling, like I when you hear a band and you're like, what the fuck is this? And like, I want more. Like, yeah. I love it. And it's like, it's so like contradicting, I guess, but I love when that happens. Mm-hmm. Like, there's been a few bands that are like, what?
Yeah, actually, that's how I met Roba Flor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they performed a couple times there and I got to meet them, which is also like another band where I was just like, these motherfuckers are like all talented.
Yeah, you know, definitely.
Yeah. They know how to jam. Like, yeah. It's all very tight. And
yeah.
Really good. Yeah. Okay, so then at your place, it seems like there's no, like, theme to, like, the artist. It's pretty eclectic. Mm-hmm. Anybody can play there.
Yeah. I mean, there's, like, semi-themed nights, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, on any given night.
It could be anybody.
Yeah, you don't know. Like, sometimes I'll look at the bill and I'll be like, I can't discern anything from like from the names of the bands, you know, which like, I mean, how could you? But
yeah. I dig it. One question. So obviously you're working, mm-hmm. you have to be able to hear the customers, you know, give you their order and stuff. Yeah. So you don't have any kind of ear protection when all this music is going on, right?
I wear earplugs.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Because we'll go to bars sometimes, like the bartenders will have like no ear protection.
I don't know.
And I'm just like, dude, like, because I'm like, I'm pretty much like hard of hearing in my right ear from like this show we went to that I didn't wear earplugs. And yeah, I just can't imagine like doing that every night for work, like just loud. You'd be deaf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I look at my coworkers and I'm just like, how do you not?
Yeah.
Why do you not?
Yeah.
Wear your plugs.
Like,
wear
dude, you're going to have freaking tinnitus, man, or tinnitus. Terrible. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I have it. I got in a little too late.
You know? That's what happened to me. I was like always too cool for school. I was like, nah, man, I'm not going to wear earplugs. And then, yeah. Now I wear them, but it's like, nah, too little, too late. I guess I don't want to mess up the one good year I have left.
Yeah.
But okay, that's good to know. Because everywhere I go, like, I don't know if they have just really discreet earplugs that you just can't really see. But, like, everybody just looks like they're, like, not wearing earplugs. And I'm just like, dude, that's crazy.
No, I wear them.
Yeah.
I learned.
Nice.
And it helps, too.
Yeah.
You know.
Be responsible, kids. If you're going to go to shows, just wear some earplugs, man.
Yeah.
This way you can enjoy music for many, many years to come.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think with that, we're pretty much at the end of this episode. Avi, where can people find you? Where can they reach you? Do you have anything that you have coming up soon that you want people to check out? And soon, meaning like in September-ish.
Yeah.
So we might be a little too far ahead.
I know. Nothing at the moment. I mean, you can find Botched Execution at botch_execution_HC. And then my personal page, Avi Rivera, posts all of my music stuff on there. Mm. And hopefully by the end of the year, I'll be releasing an EP.
Well, we can't wait to hear it. And, you know, we'll definitely share it when it comes out. We'll give as much support as we can. If you have a record release show, you know, a little EP release party at the bar, we'll go check it out.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, even if we can't find parking, we'll still we'll sacrifice and we'll walk down the block.
You just do a drive by. Go.
For sure. Denise, where can people find you?
At D. What do you got going on? DEEFUR Music. I'm just doing the 110 right now. I don't know. Maybe I'll try and ask a couple people if I can play. I don't know. I was trying to get an EP out, but I don't think that the summer's already over. And yeah, I'm not gonna have time now.
Well, now you got the fall, dude. It's gonna be a fall EP. Fall vibes.
I don't know.
We got weekends.
I'm pretty tired. All right. I have to work out those songs. Yeah, I have to work out too, but I have the songs, but I just have to like memorize them again, just learn how to play them, I guess. And find the time with my producer too, you know. He's so busy.
Him. You're like, hey. All right. If you want to get a hold of the show, email is the way to go. rod@lppod.com. That's rod@lppod.com. If you want to follow us on social media, it's lppod. At LP Pod. Yeah, I think that's what it is. I always forget if it's the LP Pod. It's just LP Pod. We're everywhere you get your podcasts. We're still on Spotify. If you want to check out even more podcasts featuring Denise and myself, head on over to talkingishard.com. Links to everything are in the show notes. And yeah, for sure, definitely don't forget to check out the 110 Pod. Denise puts a lot of work into that. And the more people that listen to that, the more people that will get to listen to all these smaller artists. And who doesn't want to be a cool person and be like, dude, like, I totally found this little small band. If you want to check it out. Anyways, don't be like me, bring Eminem all the time. Be like Avi and bring Wednesday, you know what I'm saying? All right. And then, that's pretty much it. Thank you very much for listening. Avi, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks a lot, everybody. We will see you next month.
Bye.
No, it wasn't.